to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on what's left of this Friday morning. Real quick, I didn't get an opportunity to do this in the last segment. For whatever reason, was distracted by other issues. Monday's show, State Representative Jennifer Fidler, I assume will be making an appearance at the Faro Bureau or by phone. Del Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News, and maybe a guest to be named later. So please make sure you tune in for that. Joining us now, maybe his ears were burning a little today, but State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line, our returning champion. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. Well, you and I are talking about over the break, like you've been listening, but I'm not wrong here. I think like transportation priorities and policy and some of our expectations of the Rebuild Alabama Act. I mean, you sit here 5 years later, it's a little underwhelming, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, there certainly have been some good projects that we have been smart about levering Rebuild Alabama Act money and matching it with federal money to get projects done. I mean, the Port of Mobile is a good example of that, right? The deepening and widening of the ship channel is made possible by the levering of federal money by using the money from the gas tax. That was a huge win for the south part of the state. You've seen other projects like, of course, the purchase of the toll bridge, additional bridges in Arch Beach and Gulf Shores, all the connecting roadways, all of the Foley Beach Express and Baldwin Beach Express being taken over by the state. I mean, they're projects to point to. But the disappointing things are, the things like the funding mechanism for the West Alabama Corridor, where we're not seeing any federal money being used. And it's just, in my mind, a waste to not go get federal money on that. And so there's some wins, and there's some things that I certainly would have done differently.
Well, I guess I should have seen this coming and understood the dynamics here. And going into that Rebuild Alabama talk, it was like, well, at least I anticipated a fight between the cities and the counties, the municipalities and the county commissioners. And we never got it. Instead, they came in kind of lockstep, singing Kumbaya. Like, wow, well, this thing's going to sell on through. It looks to me, and it's just like a wealth redistribution program where you have half counties no one expects them to get to 100% of their gas tax revenue, but they're not getting, I think, a decent share of it. It is going to these smaller counties that really don't generate a lot of revenue, and they don't generate a lot of revenue because they don't have a lot of traffic, people using the roads there.
Yeah, that's a fair example, I guess. If you really look at it, that's a fair representation. The problem, Jeff, is that those folks are going to outvote you anyway, right? There are more folks that are gaining from something like that than are losing. The only reason to aggregate a statewide tax at the state level is to redistribute that. And that was going to happen. Those votes were there one way or the other. And so the question is, do you try to get what you need in the bill in order to get your share back? And so I think that while there are certainly winners in other counties that are getting more than they put in, I mean, we're talking about places that have the entire county's population is less than one of our small towns of Baldwin County, right? Are they getting more than they put in? Yes. But I would also argue, and certainly can show, that Baldwin County in particular is receiving more state gas tax revenue than any other county in the state. And that's a good thing. And I've worked really hard to make sure that happens. And so is it perfect? No. Was it going to happen with or without me? Yes. So you try to make the deal as best as you can.
Well, another problem, I mean, it didn't, it was sold, I think, in a way that was going to be like, it was going to be a big, big deal, a little underwhelming. And it's not even this, Senator, it's like there's no grand vision here. And you look at, like, the one we always talk about, 65. Like, there's no plan to widen 60. I mean, not even a not even talk about it. And like, you bring it up. You bring up talk about doing anything with these roads. 45 up in Stringer's Neck in the Woods. Your boy Andy Witt in Alabama Highway 53 up in Limestone County and Madison County. Like, you even just mentioned these roads. Cooper has a conniption fit. Like, you know, we're not going to talk about that. You go back to doing whatever leadership in the House and Senate tell you to do. And I find that aspect of it a little underwhelming.
Well, that in my mind was part of the problem with the legislation, right? It laid out that it went to congestion relief, it went to economic development, roads program and system preservation, and all of those are certainly needed. The problem is it left the designation of what was economic development completely up to the HALDOT director and to the governor. And so you have someone saying, hey, this US 43 project in Western Alabama is an economic development project. And you go, how is that possible? And the answer is because I said so, right? Because at the end of the day, I can somehow or another, you know, the governor's position seems to be she can justify saying that. And instead of saying, hey, let's spend this on 65, hey, let's spend this on Mobile River Bridge. And so that's where I take issue, and that's where I wish we had really put some better guardrails on the legislation going in. But you also have to, Jeff, you have to at some point let the governor be the governor, right? You have to let the governor make decisions. You cannot legislate everything. I just happen to think that this governor has not made wise decisions as it relates to some of these projects and has used the discretion in the act to do things that I don't think are a good idea.
Senator, it's a rare, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's a rare day when the Alabama legislature stands up to this sitting governor.
Well, then maybe I'm the exception to the rule.
To your credit, you were the guy who voted against the stupid executive amendment on the CARES Act stuff after she kind of steamrolled everybody. I mean, but, you know, it's just there is a reluctance to get out of sorts with this administration. A gambling bill, I know there was some shenanigans that went on there and it cost them that, but let's just say it's more often than not, the legislature kind of goes along with whatever she wants.
Well, and the governor is elected by the people of the state of Alabama. This governor was overwhelmingly elected and reelected. And so at the end of the day, she has a lot of power and ability to dictate what projects get done where. And the next governor will have the ability to do the same. And so I would pay close attention, if you're concerned, as I am, about transportation spending and transportation dollars, to pay close attention to what, you know, what the candidates say and what they are going to spend our state's money on and how much they may or may not borrow against future gas tax revenue, which is another thing that just frustrates me, and try to make an informed decision based on that. Because you're right, the legislature is not picking necessarily transportation projects. That's a governor.
Hasn't always been that way. I mean, I know that their favorite projects growing up as a child in Alabama, look at Roger Bedford's district back in the 90s would get all these road projects. It hasn't always been just, okay, here's the transportation resources you need, governor. You do what you need to see fit. But it seems like maybe to some degree that lawmakers have taken kind of a back seat more than we have historically.
Well, and that might be fair. The governors, if you look through the history of Alabama governors, they've certainly used road projects as leverage with legislators. This governor has certainly threatened that one way or the other. But at the end of the day, my assertion would be, she pretty much done what she wanted to do regardless. And so you see many, again, the U.S. Highway 43 project, so the West Alabama corridor is a good example of that. That is not something that the majority of legislators are in favor of, far, far from it. But the governor is pressing along with it. And again, not the project itself, it's the funding mechanism, not getting any federal money, just a bad idea. But she's pressing on with it, you know, regardless, and we'll see how much of it gets done before the next governor gets in.
Well, that's the problem. Like, she's imperiling future governors. I don't know how many governors, but her successors are going to be, in theory, paying the bills that she left behind. Is that necessarily good government?
No, it absolutely is not. But in her defense, and it's not something I do often, but in her defense, we're still paying Robert Bentley bills, right? We're still paying the ATRIP-1 bond, which was, you know, in my mind, not a whole lot more than, you know, allowing Governor Bentley to get out there and spread money all around the state. So we're still paying for that. Future administrations will still be paying on the Central Business District, the elevated bridge deck through Birmingham for years and years and years. And look, moving forward, we will be paying for the Mobile River Bridge for years. I mean, folks in North Alabama will be paying for it just as we are in South Alabama. So, you know, these projects are expensive, they're big, and you have to use the money wisely. That's the kicker. You know, we have pressing infrastructure projects. What's frustrating to me is when we do things like what we're doing in West Alabama right now, which doesn't make any sense because there's no federal match at all. It's 100% state money.
That's it. I mean, like, there ought to be every now and then the power of the purse strings ought to be, hey, you're not going to do this. This is not a wise use of money. We are the legislative branch. And you could do everything else you're doing, but this one, no, this is a misuse of money. But I find that, you know, that's not the way it actually works.
Well, that requires budget chairman to stand up and push on that. And you don't see that, in the House or the Senate on that particular project. Matter of fact, I think the budget chair in the Senate has come out very much in favor of the West Alabama corridor. And the financing method, which, again, not saying anything bad about the project necessarily, just shaking my head at the funding mechanism. It leaves a lot to be desired.
Well, I mean, there's more state senators than Greg Allbritton. I'm preaching to the choir here about that, but on some of this stuff, you just, like, you guys rarely say no, and that to me is a big one. Just like the prisons is a big one, going from $630 million to $1.2 billion. And I you know what happened there? And it's not so much that you're like, oh wow, that's not good, but there just seems to be a lack of an emotional reaction to it. Like, you should be like, I know if I got told it's something costs twice as much, especially when you have that many zeros behind it, like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, Jeff, I think I've got a pretty good track record of asking that exact question of this administration over and over and over again. You know, how did we miss this hard?
I don't mean to be picking on you, but there does seem to be a lack. Maybe I am overreading it or whatever, but I'm around lawmakers a lot, and it's just kind of like shrug it off. Well, that's just the way it is, you know, and that's not exactly the way I would handle it.
No, you and I share those frustrations and the continuous, you know, oh, hey, we're in this far, we got to keep going and we can't stop now. I mean, listen, I think there's a reason that, you know, we started this prison construction in Elmore County and then delayed the Escambia County construction, because I think, you know, the governor knew and the finance director knew that when they needed to come back to the Senate General Fund Chairman, he was going to be really willing to go find some more money for the Escambia County prison because it's in his district. And so, I mean, they're not dumb. But you know, you have to wonder about some of these, you know, some of these projects and how they were estimated on the front end. I hate to go back to West Alabama Corridor. It's going to cost twice what they say it's going to cost by the time it gets done.
On a regular basis, we're being misled by these people. And y'all are running with these numbers you're giving. At what point do we start saying, all right, fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me? Well, we're at like three or four times now.
Well, I continue to try to use real numbers. I continue to try, and you've seen me do this in contract review and a joint transportation committee meetings, ask ALDOT to be accountable. What is your real number? What's your real number on West Alabama corridor? Have never gotten an answer. What's the real number on the Mobile River Bridge and Bayway? Don't know the answer to that. You know, what are your real numbers on any of these projects? And you know, they'll tell you, we either don't have them or we're not sure, or we're using a design bid build method and not a design bid build, so we don't have a hard number anyway. Same thing with these prisons. And so we just get started on them, and it'll be what it'll be, which is a horrible way to budget, but a horrible way to fund your government.
If you're like Joe Q Public right now, and you were paying attention somewhat, and you hear this is going to be it's going to be great, $630 million. We could use some of this COVID relief money. We're going to throw in a budget surplus, and we'll bond the rest, and we'll have the complete package, and we'll be able to do this since the governor wasn't able to go at it on her own. And then, 2 years later, it's like, well, the cost has nearly doubled, and we're just going to have to do one prison. I don't know what to tell you. And, you know, like the public looks at that, it's like, doesn't that look a little unsavory? Like, well, why didn't you see this coming? What happened? And there's no real, I don't feel like there's, number one, a real explanation of really what happened other than, well, inflation and supply chain. But that doesn't account for a 100% cost increase or 90% or whatever it is.
You're right. No, it doesn't account for that. And those explanations are not and have never been satisfactory to me. Far from it. I mean, it's embarrassing to have, you know, somebody say, oh, it's inflation and it's 100% more than it was. You know, we're going to get two prisons for this and now we're just going to get one. You know, this whole project has doubled in price. How can you, with a straight face, say anything like that?
I guess it comes down to this. Are they lying to us when they give you these numbers?
I don't think they're telling the whole truth sometimes.
Well, anyway, we'll leave it there. Senator, it's always been a pleasure, and sorry to be a little cantankerous, but we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Have a great weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Because I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers.